It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Off the Wall, the podcast version here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host with the most, Chris Shearn. I don't know what I have the most of. Maybe Venom. I don't know. You can throw whatever you want in there. We'll be joined by Joe Auriemma in our next segment. But first, it's time for me to ramble on and on and on about sports incessantly. It's something I love to do, and it's the only time I get to do it. And here we go. We're going to start with probably the 800-pound gorilla in the room this week. And that's, of course, the Tiger Woods situation, which, in my opinion, shouldn't even be a situation. This is a personal family matter. The only reason why Woods, you know, if this was Eldrick Woods from Encino, California, who cheated on his wife, you know, 50 million times, you wouldn't even hear of it. It's because of who he is. It's because of he's in the limelight. It's because he's Tiger Woods. It's because he's projected this image and has all of these sponsors and all of this, you know, all the money he makes and the tournaments that he wins and just who he is. He's like, you know, the Michael Jordan of golf. He's Tiger Woods. And that's why he's going through what he's going through right now. Now, he released a statement, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you want to read the whole thing, you could Google it and you could see it for yourself. I'm going to read you the first paragraph because I thought that was the most poignant, and that was where it really hit home. And that's where, you know, it's my feelings exactly, what he says in this one paragraph. And this is it. I have let my family down, and I regret those transgressions with all of my heart. I have not been true to my values and the behavior my family deserves. I am not without faults, and I am far short of perfect. Get off of his front yard. Get out of his neighborhood. He gave you what you wanted to hear. He's a broken man. And all you people covering this story, you know who you are. Who have not sinned, you cast the first stone. I'm not saying what Tiger Woods did was right. But guess what? He's not the first person to do it. He won't be the last. I know my wife will be thrilled to hear this coming out of my mouth. Hello. She doesn't listen anyway, so it doesn't matter. She doesn't even watch when I'm on television. She could care less. Oh boy. Trips to Target. That's all she cares about. Getting the baby a new outfit. I love you, honey. Anyway, I'm sure that, you know, these news organizations that are out there covering this story right now, the people out there covering them have some skeletons in their closet. They have just handled themselves a little bit more intelligently than Tiger. There's also a voicemail to one of these women. Listen, you got to change your voicemail to just the phone number because my wife went through my phone, yada, yada, yada. You could listen to that on the World Wide Web, which I think is patently ridiculous. But that's the world we live in. We live in the TMZ world. We live in the 24-hour news network world. Humans make mistakes. He said it in a statement. He's human. He made a mistake, and he has to sort this out with his family. Joe's going to weigh in on this, as with everything else that we're going to talk about. And here comes the everything else. And I'll be brief now because we're going to be a little long-winded on it later. First thing, this is the Yes Network, and we cover the Nets. The Nets still don't have a win as we sit here and tape this today. As it stands right now, they're 0-17. They play Dallas and Charlotte in their next two games and could very well be 0-19. Then they got the Knicks, the Bulls, the Warriors, and the Pacers. That could be 1-22, 1-23, 2-20. Any way you slice it, this was not Lawrence Frank's fault. Bruce Ratner came in here, destroyed this team. Destroyed it. Now, could I argue with getting rid of Vince Carter? No. Could I argue with getting younger? Absolutely not. I thought the Nets, when they got Devin Harris back, they'd start to win. Hasn't happened. Hasn't happened. I thought they'd win at least a couple. It's not like the guys don't care. It's a great group of guys. Not Lawrence Frank's fault. He deserved better. He's a great coach. He's a great human being. And at some point, he's going to land on his feet somewhere. Obviously. So Kiki Vandeweghe will take over. Not tonight, though. Not going to take over tonight. He's going to let Tom Barese take over tonight. So Barese's name could be part of history and trivia questions from here on out. Vandeweghe will take over Friday when they take on the Bobcats. And he also brought in Del Harris to help him out because Vandeweghe has never coached a day in his life. Maybe his son's eighth grade team. Not in the NBA. We're also going to talk about the Giants and how they stink. God, do they stink. I can't figure it out. I cannot wrap my hands around this. You look at that roster, and I know they had some. They have some big-time injuries, but you still look at that roster and see the talent they have. And you got to scratch your head. And I'm bald, so when I scratch my head, there's like marks all over the place. Needless to say, my head, you know, looks like, what was that guy from that horror movie with the pins in his head?
Hellraiser.
Hellraiser. Thank you, Joe. So Joe comes in the first segment. Help me out. That's what my head looks like because of the Giants. Can't figure it out. 5-0 to 6-5. Although, I have to confess something. Joe and I, during the Yankees' push to the World Series, both said to each other, we will sell the Giants' season to the devil if the Yankees win the World Series. Guess what happened? We got the World Series, and we got exactly what we want out of the Giants, but it's still, you can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. The Jets started out 3-0. We've been saying this since week one. If the Jets end up 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, and they have a good shot at 7 wins their next 2 weeks, they got Buffalo and they got Tampa, both on the road, both winnable. Even though Buffalo is starting to play a little better. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is fighting Terrell Owens. You know, he's on the Bills. The other quarterbacks didn't know he was on the team. All right, so we got a lot to talk about. We got Tiger, we got the Nets, we got the Giants, we got the Jets. I'm a poet and didn't know it. Oh! Joe Auriemma joins us when we come back. Speaking of, right here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. Come on back!
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
And we're back here on the Off the Wall podcast. I'm here with the host with the most. We know what he doesn't have the most of, and that's hair. What's going on, Chris?
It's December.
It is December. When? What the heck happened to time here?
I don't know.
We're almost going to spring training.
No way.
It's unbelievable.
And then another 10 months of nonsense will begin.
I'm just starting to wake up.
Well, I said my piece about Tiger Woods. Let's hear your thoughts on this whole mess going on with the world's best golfer right now.
You know, it's funny. I hear all of these fans call into WFAN during the Francesa show, and he's really stood his ground. You know, I don't always agree with Mike Francesa on every topic, and nor did I think that this needed 3 days of Mike talking about it, even though he said, this is a non-topic. But really,
hey, keeps 5.5 hours going by. It's not a non-topic.
Exactly. But some of these fans are unbelievable, saying that maybe his wife is going to pull a Steve McNair now and you know, do the whole murder-suicide thing. And some fans saying Tiger should tell us everything about his life.
What is
wrong with these fans?
Steve McNair is not Tiger Woods.
No, not
Tiger
at all.
Woods has millions of dollars that this woman, if
he
she
is
wants,
now a billionaire.
Right. If she wants to divorce Tiger Woods, and she has every right to do that.
Right.
Every right to do that now, unless they can work something out where, you know, he buys her a Kobe ring, which is like a house the size of a diamond on her hand. But the diamond the size of a house.
Right.
Strike
gotcha.
That. Reverse
gotcha.
It. Willy Wonka. But unless something like that happens, she could walk away. And in child support alone, this
and
woman.
Alimony, yeah.
Yeah. Alimony and child support, this one would, you know, guarantee it, take over a couple of the houses as well.
Yes.
This is where Derek Jeter comes to
mind.
Oh,
you took the words right out of my mouth. You want to use a model, a perfect example
yes.
of what a sports figure should be until he retires. Derek Jeter is the model. How do these people, he is the smartest one out there. How
not
do these people
only,
not see this?
Not only does he give you what you expect to hear in interviews after the game, and everything that Jeter says is the right thing to say.
It's
every time he opens his mouth. Not only that, but you know what? In his personal life, when did you ever hear, other than, hey, Derek Jeter's dating so-and-so, Derek Jeter's dating this one.
This
what
behavior,
else do
yeah.
you hear?
This behavior might have been acceptable in the days of Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth when the media wasn't covering their personal lives.
There weren't 24-hour news networks that had to fill time. There wasn't TMZ.
Derek Jeter is the model of the modern sports figure.
Don't get married.
Not now, at least. And then if he wants to get married, then, you know, he could get married after he's done, you know, playing sports.
If you want kids and you want a family,
right.
you got to button it up.
Exactly. For now. For now.
I mean, you know, and I was talking to my dad about this, and apparently his best buddies are Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
And they hang out in Vegas.
Yeah.
And this is where one of these women is. So, I mean, you're hanging out with Jordan, who, if you look up philanderer in the dictionary.
Jordan was not the model citizen,
but he
yes.
can.
Yeah.
He's Michael freaking Jordan.
No, I agree. And look, the whole thing with Tiger Woods is he wanted privacy with this whole matter. And he didn't have to tell the police anything. He didn't. All he had to do was give him his registration and a copy of his license. That's all he
That's
had
it.
To do. And when it came down to it, this whole big story came down to a $164 fine and Tom Rinaldi relieving himself on the fire hydrant that Tiger Woods knocked over. Really, I mean, did Tom Rinaldi not interview the fire hydrant? Every time I turn on the TV, this guy is down there in front of Tiger Woods' house telling us the same thing.
That's the world we live in. People's privacy should be respected, especially when there's two little kids involved. I mean, I know one of them's an infant and doesn't know, you know, will not know what happened until, you know, if they get a divorce, the wife tells,
right.
you know, the kid what a
jerk store.
Jerk store, their father was. But you know, especially when there's kids involved, you let the parents sort it out themselves. And you don't let it, you don't let cameras and the whole world, basically, in on what's going on.
Really, Tiger Woods didn't owe anybody anything. He didn't owe him a statement. This should have been a personal family matter. But by him making the statement now, to me, that was a bad PR move on Tiger Woods' part. Because
he probably felt like he was painted into a corner and he felt he needed to do it, one. And two, he knows he screwed up now. This other woman came out. She has a voicemail that she sold to Us Weekly. I mean, ugh.
Yeah, to me, it's just... Plus, you don't know what's the next big scandal, and that's all he needed to wait for. That's all he needed to wait for.
Maybe he didn't want to wait, and maybe this is part of his recovery process with his wife. Maybe this is his way of saying, "You know what? I did screw up. You're right, and I'm gonna embarrass myself the same way I embarrassed you."
That's a fair point as well. I can accept.
And
that.
Maybe he's taken. You know, there has to be a ton of guilt on his head right now because deep down, this guy loves his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Yes.
Because if he didn't, this wouldn't be bothering him right now, and he would have left the house, went to one of his other houses, and he'd have Hugh Hefner bring over some women.
I think he tried to do that.
All right. Well, no comment there. But listen.
Did she need to bash the back window? She couldn't get into the passenger side.
The irony of her chasing him down with
this
a
guy makes
golf club.
This guy makes $1 billion swinging a golf club, and she's beating the hell out of him with it.
Big Bertha, whole new meaning.
Oh boy, she's a new Tony Kattan.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
Oh God, we're feeding into the beast here.
Yeah,
Let's stop this.
Yeah, I can't get on the guy. I mean, he made a mistake.
He did.
He made a mistake. And like I said in the open, if you've never sinned in your life, then you know what? Pick a rock up and throw it at him. Let's end Tiger right there. When we come back, Joe, we'll get into some football. We'll talk about the awful Giants. And
speaking of mistakes.
And the Jets. And that's when we come back here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features, only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668.
All right, welcome back. Tiger Woods will continue to chip out of the rough he's in. That was too easy, sorry. And we get back to talking about football in New York. Or lack thereof. We'll start with the New York Football Giants because they are the hardest team to figure out. You know, as I was saying before we went to break, you just look down at the roster, and I know they've had injuries. Don't get me wrong. I know guys are playing hurt. Guys like Justin Tuck. I have no problem with him. He's been in a shoulder harness since week 2, playing his guts out on the defense. And I said this last week, anybody plays hurt, I have no problem with. But if it's hurting the team, you know, as a coaching staff, you have to get the next best person in there. Get somebody in there, you know. Like Lawrence Taylor once said, go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs and have some fun. No one's doing that right now.
No.
And, you know, this team... Over the last 6 weeks, 7 if you include the bye, 7 weeks, they have one win. One win. And in those 6 games, during those 7 weeks, they've given up, are you sitting down? 48, 24, 40, 21, 26, 31. And they looked... lost against the Denver Broncos.
I've actually given up taking it out on the coordinators with Bill Sheridan and Calvin Gilbride, and I've actually said to myself, you know what? Let's hold the players accountable for this because they stink. They stink. And Gilbride and Sheridan and Coughlin can only work with what they have on the field. What used to be a strength for this team, offensive line and defensive line, are now weaknesses. And you know what? if Kevin Gilbride's calling shotgun on second down, it's only because he thinks that's the best chance that he has to win a ball game, because Brandon Jacobs can't run where he can't run. I mean, literally, there's penetration in the backfield every time this guy tries to run. 11 rushes for 27 yards in primetime football on Thanksgiving? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Obviously, we're not, because that's what happened.
That's unbelievable.
He got drilled one time. He ran to the left. I don't know if you remember the play I'm referring to here, but he ran to the left.
Sounds like every play.
And he tiptoed laterally towards the sideline. Looked like me playing Madden on Wii because I don't know how to run. And he just took the ball and ran towards the sideline. And he got drilled by Dawkins. And he got up and it looked like he didn't want to play anymore.
What happened to the fire in this team? What happened to the fight in this team? What happened to an offensive line that you was over the last two seasons, previous two seasons, were the most dominant offensive line in football? What happened to that team? What happened to a team that used to rush the quarterback and put a little pressure on the opposing quarterback, you know, creating bad throws? What happened to this team? Ozzie Urmonure is barking on the sideline, yet he hasn't made one play all year. I don't care if you're playing hurt or not. He hasn't made one play all year.
Well, they have two opportunities here to make amends. They do. And however bad this team has played this year, unbelievably, because of that 5-0 start, they still have their destiny in their own hands. But destiny is going to come up and smack them in the face pretty hard if they lose to Dallas. Because if they lose to Dallas, the season's over.
Yeah.
The season's completely over. If they lose any of these games, they gotta win their next four. They got to win their next four games. Dallas, Philly, Washington, Carolina.
All winnable games for an old Giant, for the old Giants team. Not this team. This team is not doing it.
We talked about winnable games last week. I said the Broncos were a winnable game. I said they could win out. I was an idiot. After watching them on Thanksgiving night, wow.
Yeah, this team has no fire. They went to Denver and didn't even look like they wanted to play. And probably one of the worst Thanksgivings ever for football.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible.
It was bad.
What a terrible day.
It was bad.
But I want to take this time right now, and I want to send out a personal apology.
Wow.
And really, I can stand up and be a man when I know
I'm
wrong.
Oh, I know it's coming.
And I am wrong. I was wrong. And I just want to say, I'm going to send you a fruit basket or a gift basket, because I did draft you late in my fantasy football draft. Even
is this going
though,
out to Brett Favre by any chance?
Yeah.
Are you sending a fruit basket to Minnesota?
I'm going to send a fruit basket to Minnesota, and I'm going to say, thank you for helping me. I'm winning my league right now. Let's go, Brett Favre. Let's go, Sidney Rice.
Do you still have the tape from the beginning
yes,
of the season?
Yes.
I think we should hear a little bit of that.
I just want to send out a personal. Look, I can eat crow, and I know when I'm wrong. The man is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He is a legend.
He's a 40-year-old legend.
Where was this Brett Favre last year for the Jets?
He was hurt.
He was forcing throws. I mean,
he was playing hurt. And you know what? Thomas Jones is not Adrian Peterson.
No.
Jericho Cotchery is not Bernard Berrian or Sidney Rice.
Or Percy Harvin, for that matter.
Or Percy Harvin. He's got the tools. He's got the talent. It's Miller time. Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings, I feel in my gut, are the only team that can go into New Orleans and get out of there with a victory. Think about it. And it would exorcise demons from Vikings fans everywhere from when Randall Cunningham had them on the precipice in the Metrodome going to the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Falcons.
Thanks, Gary Anderson. Didn't miss a field goal all year.
Yeah,
good job.
That was tough to take, and I know a couple of Vikings fans who were not happy.
No, and I can understand why.
But think about that. Going into New Orleans and beating that Saints team, that would be the Super Bowl right there, I think.
Their schedule, I'm going to say this about the Vikings. Though.
The Saints can go undefeated.
The Saints have played good teams this year. They've proven to me that they can beat anybody. However, the Vikings, they their schedule hasn't been that great if you look at it.
But this is what they have to contend with the Saints. Now, the Saints' schedule is pretty much, if on paper, with the exception of the Dallas game, a cakewalk. They have Washington, Atlanta, the Cowboys, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. If they get by the Falcons, who are decimated by injuries right now, Michael Turner's out, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's out, Jason Snelling's banged up, their backup running back, Jarius Norwood.
Yeah, they have problems.
They have issues. But if they get by Atlanta and Dallas, Tampa and Carolina, the last two teams, and Mercury Marsh is going to, he's not going to have any hair left.
No.
MHR is going to be very happy. But, you know, what would a season be, Joey, without the obligatory Miami Dolphins drinking champagne shot from 1972?
Well, I'll tell you this. If it's going to happen, if the Colts or the Saints are going to do it this year, look, I'm actually, you know what, I'm going to say this. I'm pulling for Brett Favre now. I actually am, because it's a story. It's a great story. A 40-year-old
Joe Auriemma pulling a 180.
I am pulling a 180. It's great to see someone defy his age and look as good as he does. His legs are still great. He steps up in the pocket. His arm strength is as good as ever. 24 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, that's...
And you know what? Playing in a dome 8 times doesn't hurt him either.
No, and you know what? I'm going to say, look, if it came down to a Vikings-Saints game to go to the Super Bowl, I'm going to say, let's go Vikings. I'm gonna root for them.
Think about that. It's in a dome.
Yeah,
regardless, it's going to be in a dome.
But by the same token, one of these years, I want an undefeated team to win the Super Bowl just so I could stop hearing about that stupid Miami Dolphins team that played horrible, horrible competition in a shortened schedule and played one of the worst Super Bowls ever against the Washington Redskins and barely got out of there undefeated. So, Mercury Mars, shut up!
All right, since we took a look at the Saints, tell us how you really feel. Since we took a look at the Saints, let's take
him
a look
and his stupid raps.
Let's take it to Colts. Let's take a look at the Colts really quick, see if they can go undefeated. They have a tough test against the Titans this week. It's at home. But the Titans have won 5 in a row after losing their first 6 with Vince Young at quarterback, and he is playing out of his mind right now.
And the Colts are really coming from behind in a lot of games now.
Yeah, Houston, they were down 17-0. They were down by 17 against New England in the second half. They were down against Houston the previous game. You know, all these games are close, with the exception of the Tennessee first game, which was 31-9, which is not going to happen this time.
Tennessee's winning this game, by the
way. Telling you that right now.
I'm saying.
The Titans are probably going to end up winning this game. And hopefully, Chris Johnson has a huge game for me. After Tennessee, if they beat Tennessee, the rest of their schedule, Denver,
winnable.
At home, then at Jacksonville.
Have the Jets lose to those bums. Oh, my God.
At home against the Jets. I mean, watch the 1 o'clock game and then just shut the TV off at 4. and then Buffalo.
Not in Toronto.
No. At 4-7. That's at Buffalo. Now, see, everybody, as we go to the Jets now, everybody must think that I hate the Jets and, you know, I'm belittling them there by saying shut the TV off. When Brett Favre played for this team last year, I was thrilled because not only did I get to watch my team, the Giants, at 1 o'clock, I got to watch Brett Favre every Sunday or Monday at 4 or 8 o'clock. I got to watch one of the best quarterbacks that ever stepped on the field play every week because he was playing in my home area. And he made them competitive.
Yes.
Which made it even better till he had him 8-3, till the end of the season when his shoulders started bugging him, whatever. I want the Jets to be competitive, okay? I don't want to watch football at 1 o'clock. The Giants aren't really competitive either this year, but they usually are. I don't want to watch football at 1 and then have nothing to do until the Sunday night game. I want that Jet game to have some juice.
I agree.
And by winning last week, they put a little bit of juice back into their season. They're 5-6. Listen, if you're still thinking of the playoffs... the Jets aren't making the playoffs.
It is unbelievable how there are like 8 teams at 6-5 and 5-6 or 9 teams, whatever.
But the Dolphins are 5-6.
Tiebreakers do not. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and the Dolphins swept them this year. So
Jets might as well have 2 wins because the tiebreakers do not.
Here's how the Jets might end up. Okay. I think they'll beat Buffalo. I think they have some intestinal fortitude and pride, and they know what happened the last time. They lost 16-13 at home. I think they're going to go up to Buffalo and beat Buffalo.
I can disagree with you on that one. Right. I actually think with the new aggressive offensive scheme that this coach has up in Buffalo.
But the Jets' defensive backs are amongst the best in the game. I think Terrell Owens will be held in check in this game. It'll be close. It'll be tight. But I think the Jets come out with a win. The next week at Tampa Bay, that's a definite W. If you don't come out of Tampa, the only way you don't come out of Tampa with a win is you were at Mons Venus the night before.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
That's cafe.
Then they have Atlanta, but it's back at home. And if Atlanta's still dinged up with these injuries, that's also a winnable game. So, I'm going to give you this, Jet fans. I'm going to give you this. Your team, after week 15, we'll be 8-6.
Wow.
8-6. I'm predicting the Jets with 3 wins in the next 3 weeks. They're going to beat Buffalo in Buffalo, beat Tampa in Tampa, and beat the Falcons in the Meadowlands. 8-6. But I don't want you to get your playoff hopes up because they're not going. Because they got the Colts in Indianapolis in week 16. Good luck with all that, as my co-host likes to say.
Yeah.
And then they have the Bengals at home the last week. And the Bengals will probably be playing for some kind of seed or home field at least in the first week.
So it's a very nice gesture of you. I really think that's nice that you're, you know, saying 8-8.
8-8.
I think it could happen.
Definitely 7-9.
I think they're 7-9.
Definitely 7-9. Could be 8-8.
I don't think they beat Buffalo this week.
Could be 8-8.
I don't know why. In Toronto.
Agree to disagree. Win in room.
Win in room. That doesn't apply here. But I don't think they're going to win this week. I get that feeling.
Buffalo's last game against Miami, they played well.
Yeah.
And they bring that into the Jets game. It's at home. It's Thursday night football. We'll know if the Jets beat Buffalo, that hinges on my 8-8. Because if they don't get by Buffalo, there's no way they're 8-8.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah,
there's just no way they can be 8-8. Yeah. But knowing the Jets and knowing what they do to their fan base on a year in and year out basis, that's why I'm saying they're going to win their next 3 and then lose their last 2. They will be at 8-6. They will be at 8-6 with people salivating for them to get that wild card spot, and they'll probably have a chance. If they're 8-6, like I said, and they win the next 3 games, which is, you know, pretty out there.
Yeah.
But it could happen. And if that happens, everybody's going to be on the edge of their seats. You know who you are, Joe Beningo. And it's going to be sweep the leg, Johnny. Colts, Bengals. See you later.
You got a problem with that?
But that's what I got. And that's what I'm sticking with.
Sounds like a plan, Chris.
Joe, as always, it's a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is all on this side of the table.
We hope you enjoyed this off the wall. We really appreciate everybody who listens and checks us out and checks out the blogs on yesnetwork.com. We started Yankee Rumor Mill this week. You can also check that out in the video section. It's right now leading the site, but if it's not leading the site, when you go check it on yesnetwork.com, you can find it in the video section, in the Yankee section of the website. It's been a heck of a 2009. We're going to keep talking about it the next 2 weeks. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. This is Off the Wall, the podcast, and we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.